there's something wrong with it, according to the Scriptures, then it's something that we don't have any business trying to do anything with. And we noted several passages of Scripture, particularly from Luke chapter 14, where Jesus talked about the man building a tower, sitting down first and counting the cost. And we said that there was a very important principle there that applies not only to an individual obeying the gospel or deciding to follow the Lord, whether or not he's willing to follow through and do everything that he needs to do in his obedience. It also has an application for us in our daily lives and for this congregation as a group of God's people to make sufficient and proper plans to be better equipped to carry out the work that the Lord's church needs to do as a congregation of God's people. We noted again that passage that we read just a few minutes ago from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, where Paul talks about the purposing, which is a word that usually means and is used interchangeably with planning. Purposing, and also in the same context of that verse, we find the word promised. Paul said, it's time for you to bring the gift that you have promised, the promised bountiful gift that those brethren had promised to deliver. And of course, we noted several other passages of Scripture that tell us how we are to give this morning. And our conclusion was that a plan for purposing, planned giving, can be a very useful expedient to helping us accomplish the matter of giving in a better and more complete way. Tonight, we said that we would begin to examine some potential objections that some might raise to a plan like this. In all fairness, objections need to be heard. They need to be heard and they need to be answered in light of the Scriptures. They need to be answered objectively. They need to be answered completely in order for the plan to be given serious consideration. And so let's look at some of those objections that some might have to the plan of all of us as members of this congregation filling out a card indicating what our weekly contribution will be insofar as we're able to plan for the coming year to better enable our eldership to have the information to put together a good budget. Number one, someone says, what if I lose my job? If you lose your job, you've lost your income. And we noted this morning that God instructs us to give according to how we've been prospered. Obviously, if you don't have any income, God puts you or sees you in a situation where he isn't expecting you to give on that amount that you've prospered if you haven't prospered anything. Or what if I move? What if my job transfers me to another place and I've made this pledge to give X amount of money to the church, to this congregation every week? Well, we're not talking about signing a contract here. We're not talking about an irreversible document that binds us regardless of what happens. We're talking about an effort to come up with an idea of what we're going to be able to give if everything continues as it is now. There may be circumstances that would have an effect on our income. We might possibly, some of us might lose a job or lose our income. Our income might be cut, or hopefully our income will go up. And of course, we'd have to adjust our giving accordingly. But the matter of the purpose cards and this whole plan is not like a contract that we're signing, something that couldn't be changed or couldn't be gotten out of if we moved to a different area. This is just simply something to be used as a guideline to help the elders be more efficient in planning the work. Oh, but somebody says, this sounds just like what the denominationals are doing. You know, that's a good point. And there's some truth in it. Because most of the denominational churches that I'm familiar with require something very similar to this of their membership. In fact, I know of some that take it a step or two further. I've known some that get letters from their church leadership when they haven't given as they said they were going to. Rest assured, that's not something that we're contemplating here. In fact, if you've got this idea of this thing working so that maybe after the elders get this information, they're going to sit down once a month and say, all right, now let's check Brother So-and-so. How much has he given so far? Oh, that's not the purpose of this thing. I can promise you that that's not going to happen. It's not for the purpose of trying to get somebody behind you with a sharp stick and make sure you're doing what you said you were going to do. It's just an opportunity to give you an opportunity for you to tell the eldership, here's what I intend to support the congregation with in the coming year. Yes, most denominational churches use a plan similar to this. That doesn't make it wrong. They use songbooks too, and so do we. In fact, I heard of or read of an occasion when Brother G.C. Brewer was approached with this kind of an objection on some subject. I don't know what the subject was, but after presenting the matter, someone came to him and says, well, you know, I think the denominational folks are doing that. We don't need to do it. And Brother Brewer's response was, well, you know, so far as I can understand it, when services are over, the denominationals go out the back door. He said, I guess we'll have to start leaving by the windows then. You understand the point. Just because we do something the same way that someone else happens to be doing doesn't mean that we're participating with them, or if they're doing something that we do, they're doing it doesn't make it wrong, doesn't make it right either for that matter, but we're not imitating our friends in denominationalism when we use a method like this. Number three. Well, you know, the church isn't a business, and that's true. The church is not a business. There are some similarities. There are some vast differences. There are many traits and characteristics of good business that could be imitated by anyone trying to make a successful effort at carrying out a certain amount of work using earthly, physical, monetary funds, dealing with banks and the federal government, hiring employees and having a payroll, paying payroll taxes. Those things sound just like a business, don't they? And yet those are some things that the church does of necessity, and that doesn't make them wrong because it doesn't make the church a business. If we have employees or if we pay payroll taxes in connection with hiring certain employees, we're not trying to make the church a business. And I hope I'm not misunderstood in this, but there are many, many ways in which men who are in responsible positions of leadership in the church could take some good advice from good businessmen. Not that the church is a business, but that earthly dealings and conducting business, so to speak, has many things in common across the board. And so we're not trying to turn the church into a business, and it's difficult to say that this would be wrong simply because it has a business-like tone to it in some ways. Yes, but what about Matthew chapter 6, verses 3 and 4? Jesus said, "But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." It is so unfortunate that many people have gone to that passage and pulled those two verses out of their context without bothering to see what brought this entire conversation up with the Lord between he and his listeners in the first place. Because if you examine the context and notice what brought this whole subject up, you'll understand why Jesus uses the terminology that he uses, and you'll realize that he's not setting rules that govern giving in the Lord's church. He is saying, don't be like the Pharisees who stand on the street corners and pray their great long prayers and who brag about how much they give and how holy and righteous. Remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican who both went to the temple to pray, and Jesus told about them, and he said the Pharisee stood off and prayed thus. He said, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, or even as this sinner here," referring to the man who was there in the same place with him. He said, "I give tithes of all that I possess." In other words, Jesus said, you don't have to brag about what you do, whether it's your praying, whether it's your teaching, whether it's your Bible knowledge, or whether it's your giving. It's something that you don't need earthly attention for. In fact, I think in those two words, we would find the very heart of the discussion there. Earthly attention. When you pray, when you give, when you fast, read that passage in its entirety and it'll be clear that the Lord isn't saying you should never under any circumstances let anybody find out what you're going to give. He's rather addressing the matter of seeking attention for what we do. Yes, but my income fluctuates. And so what if I sign a pledge card, a purpose card, to give a certain amount of... We've already talked about this a little bit. What if my income is high one month and low one month, and more sometimes and less sometimes? Bless your heart, I don't know how you ever bought a house or a car. Did you not sit down with the banker and try to explain to him why he didn't need to know how much you make? Because your income fluctuates? I suppose that if everything was normal, he probably let you sign that promissory note anyway, didn't he? And did it give you any reservation? And yet we consider our promise to the Lord regarding our giving to be far, not just secondary, but far, far beneath in importance our other obligations. Let's just face it, the clear and simple truth is that a vast number of people consider mortgage payments and car payments and insurance and this and that and the other to be far more critical and important than their giving. And I'm here to tell you that that attitude does not match with the teachings of Scripture. And so if an income fluctuates, if you're on a commission basis and your income, you're prospering, perhaps you could find a happy medium. Perhaps you could say, well, you know, if everything goes about like it has in the past, you can count on me for this amount. Or you can count on me to give a certain percentage of everything that I earn. You know, this is new. We've never done this before. There are a lot of new things that we don't need to get involved in, that's for sure. But something isn't necessarily wrong just because it's new to us and we've never done this before. In fact, I've had more than one person, upon placing membership with this congregation, ask me directly and specifically, do the elders not ask the members here to sign pledge cards? How do the elders know how to construct a budget? Good questions. The fact is, it is done in so many places. The reason that it's done is because it works well. It's profitable for the individual Christian, as we discussed this morning. It's profitable for the church. As a group of God's people, it helps the church to grow. It helps the church to be able to fund more work, more mission work, more efforts. It promotes and stimulates an attitude of not only participation, but an attitude of growing and doing better tomorrow than I've done today. I'm afraid we are living in a time in which so many of those who claim to be faithfully serving God are guilty of shoving the matter of our giving on the back burner, so to speak, and giving it the least attention of pretty much anything in our lives, especially any of the financial matters. And at the same time, I believe God's Word teaches us that it needs to be at the forefront. It needs to be most important. There's one other objection, and this is the one that we've all been waiting for. I just don't like it. Well, brother or sister, whatever the case may be, we knew you were going to say that because, you know, actually you don't like much of anything that goes on. You've become so predictable in your service to the Lord that you may very well be one of the ones that everybody says, well, what do you think so-and-so is going to say? Have we allowed ourselves to become that kind of persons in our service to the Lord? So negative about everything that we refuse. Listen, I'm not talking about a departure from God's truth. You know me better than that. But it seems that some have become very skilled at being, at just objecting without any scriptural reason, without any reasonable reason, to most anything that represents doing better. I firmly believe that that which has been presented today in what I have said is, well, first of all, it is in perfect harmony with the desires and the beliefs of the eldership of this congregation. I believe it is also, in addition to that, very reasonable. I believe it is very scriptural. And I believe it will prove to be a plan that will help this congregation to grow and to go forward and to accomplish more for the Lord's work. Next Sunday morning, Lord willing, we're going to talk a little bit more about the subject of giving and our financial responsibilities. Again, the purpose cards will be available next Sunday morning. We want to take them home with us and pray and plan for a couple of weeks and fill them out and bring them back and turn them into the eldership on December the 7th. If you are within the sound of my voice right now and are not a member of the Lord's church, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, that's exactly what the New Testament teaches that you need to do. If perhaps you've already done that but have become unfaithful in your efforts to serve God, you need to rededicate yourself to that effort. You need to turn away from that which has come between you and God be restored to faithfulness. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing this song.